All right, good pick-me-up song here after a Bills loss. It's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. And, of course, had a chance to see my boys in Back to the Bars, actually technically Back to the Bar Stools, on Friday night with a bunch of friends. Had a wonderful time, and good to see my buddy Jeff Cook. After taking a little time off, he was pounding away, keeping the beat, keeping the measure, keeping the time, and everything was great. It was great. Wait, I hope that's not... yeah, it was terrific is what I meant to say. Anyway, welcome to the program. It's Bowerly, and I want to see how this is going to work out, because I've threatened you with this before, and today it just seems like a day to get into it, and then we'll get into some of the political stuff as well on WBEN. I don't think we want to get too far into the Bills situation, other than to say, again, keeping in mind, I'm not the X's and O's guy. All right. I think we established that in the 2 years I did sports talk radio, and I didn't have a clue what I was talking about. But anyway, getting back on track. One of the things, and you can go back and listen to tapes, listen to audio recordings of this program. I'm always concerned about injuries, because injuries are always the great unknown variable in sports. And you can have the best possible starting lineup, whether it's the NFL or the NHL, NBA, MLB, whatever it is. But if you are saddled with injuries, it's going to affect the outcome. And I don't have the statistics in front of me. I started talking about this last hour, but It seems to me that, and again, without having stats in front of me, just one of those moments is, it seems that more of our star players go down for longer than other players of other teams with other teams in the National Football League. And when you consider all of the tremendously impactful injuries that have been sustained by the Buffalo Bills, I know David referenced this earlier, is it in fact the curse of President McKinley? Do the trainers in Buffalo do things differently than the trainers elsewhere, or is it just one of those things that just happens coincidentally? There is no rhyme or reason to it. It is just a bunch of celebrities, in this case celebrity athletes, going down with these tremendously painful and long-lasting injuries. It's like you don't want to be a Debbie Downer, because people, generally speaking, people are turned off by Debbie Downers, no doubt about that. But the you also have to be realistic, and your team, whomever your team happens to be, is only going to be as good as the injuries you sustain or do not sustain. And this year, and actually last year as well, unfortunately, it just seemed as though our big guys, our best guys, and I'm talking about the football team, just seemed to go down and go down and go down, and obviously cost us big time. And yesterday was a combination, again, without getting too deep into it, was a combination of the Buffalo Bills, I think, facing a team which is markedly better than the Buffalo Bills, especially an injury-plagued and riddled Buffalo Bills. And I don't know, again, whether it is a coincidence with no bearing on reality whatsoever, or whether, the curse of McKinley. Oh, somebody did, the curse of McKinley. I'd better explain that very quickly. Back in 1901, ladies and gentlemen. I believe it was September 6th of 1901, as I recall. I was not there, but Tim Wenger was. He was covering it for us. But we had a president named William McKinley. William McKinley was from Ohio. He was married to a lovely but very fragile woman named Ida. And their story, you think about President Kennedy and Jackie, the love story between President McKinley and his wife Ida is one of the most touching in American politics. And when the president and his wife came to Buffalo and Western New York, they went up to Niagara Falls to see the sights because, hey, at one point, Niagara Falls was a major bucket list thing. It was a huge deal. Well, unfortunately, this individual who was, well, let's just say this much, he was not exactly on the right of the political continuum. He was a political assassin. And he shot President McKinley. President McKinley lingered for a week or so here in Buffalo, New York, and tragically died in Buffalo, New York. And if you think about the history of this country and where presidents have been murdered during their terms of office, there's Washington, D.C. with President Lincoln, and Washington, D.C. with President Garfield. There was Buffalo, New York with President McKinley. And there was Dallas, Texas with President Kennedy. And there are only three places in the entire country where presidents of the United States have been shot in circumstances that would eventually lead to their deaths. And the curse of McKinley, whenever you hear somebody talking about the curse of McKinley, that's what they're talking about as it applies to Buffalo sports. In fact, Tanner Saunders behind the glass, one of the things that I would appreciate it, if you wouldn't mind, if it's not too much of a burden and imposition on you, my friend, would you be so kind as to pull audio of President William McKinley? He was alive, and his voice actually was recorded for generations to come. So if you can just do a little bit of hunting through the internet archives, that would be just groovy as far as I'm concerned. But just really, really quickly getting back to the so-called curse of McKinley, it never really made a lot of sense to me because Dallas Cowboys, they've won a few Super Bowls along the way. Dallas Stars, seems to me that they've won a Stanley Cup along the way. And they also saw the shooting and the death of a president. So are these really valid curses? I don't really think that they are. I just don't. 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN loves. Let's go to who's first? Mike in Fredonia on WBEN. Miguel, you are on. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. Yeah, there is a hex on the Bills, but it's not by McKinley or anybody. You know, when the Bills used to have their practice camp in Fredonia, everything was right with the world. Everything was doing great. But, you know, the general manager at the time got up on TV and stated the day before the Bills made their change in the training camps, said it would never happen. They're going to be back the next year in Fredonia. And you know what? He made the announcement the next day that they weren't coming back to Fredonia. And you know what? They were hexed, and they will never win anything more than a couple games in a row. Maybe a playoff, but they'll never win a Super Bowl. They're hexed.
You don't happen to remember, and I hope you'll forgive me for not knowing this information off the top of my head. Do you happen to remember about what era we would be speaking where the Bills used to work out at Fredonia, but
back in the, you know, I can't tell you exactly when it was. It was back in the late 90s. They had a big, fat general manager at the time, big guy. I forget what the guy's name is.
You're not talking about Bill Polian, are you?
No. I forget what the guy's name is, but it doesn't really matter. You can just look it up. You can probably Google when did the Bills go from Fredonia to Rochester area, and that'll give the exact date. But they're Hex. They're never going to win, you know. And I'm not going to tell you who Hex them.
All because they pulled out of Fredonia and
You ever hear of a place called Lilydale?
Of course. In the Casadega.
There's a lot of people in Lilydale and Fredonia that are intertwined. And I believe in hexes and curses, and I know the person that hexed them, and they will never go further. They will never go further than second place in the Super Bowl.
I thought the person who hexed the Buffalo Bills was Smoking Man on the TV show about FBI people who dealt with
I don't know. I don't watch much TV, but I know
the X-Files.
The X-Files. That was years old. That was almost before my time. But you're doing a great job. But I'm telling you, the Bills have been hexed by some of the best hexers in the world, and they'll never, never be more than second place at any Super Bowl.
Well, you know what, it's an interesting proposition that you're making, and actually, it's a heck of a show topic. Do you believe in curses and hexes? I'd like to know what other people have to say about this.
Well, look at the United States right now. You know what? Right now, I saw this on the news. FedEx is telling its pilots, you know, to get into FedEx or UPS is very, very competitive, very hard to get in. FedEx is telling its pilots that if they get an offer from American Airlines to jump ship into a direct captain position, they're telling their pilots to leave, to go do it, because what's on the horizon is not going to be pretty. The cargo guys, they're foretelling what's going to be going on in this country right now, and things are going to be slowing down really bad. So you're going to have even more topics to talk about, because our nations have been hexed. I don't know by who, but we're not doing too good. So there's a power of God, but there's also a power of darkness, and darkness is all around us. Tom.
I will. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm just thinking about everything you laid out. All right. You know what? I'll play the game. You know what? It's Monday, and I think we need a little bit of a distraction after what we had to endure last night. Do you guys and ladies, do you believe in the power of hexes and curses? David, Bellavia brought this up during his show when I was eating my soup before I fell asleep with the spoon in my hand. I'm so sorry. But anyway, David was talking about the curse of McKinley. So I kind of brought it up as an aside, but then I had to explain what the curse of McKinley supposedly was. And here's a guy calls in, and you know, he doesn't sound like he's some kind of a lunatic howling at the moon. But he says that it's all because, and I do not remember this story, all because a one-time general manager of the Buffalo Bills allegedly said we'll be back to Fredonia and then quickly changed course on that. I have no personal memory of that story whatsoever, but do you, whether it's a sports curse or another kind of a curse, remember the curse of Babe Ruth, the curse of the Bambino? Okay. I didn't give it the proper flair. Curse of the Bambino. I didn't quite get that right, and I apologize for that. But do you believe there are such things as curses and being able to mess with somebody's body chemistry to that point. Let's go to Mark in Buffalo on WBEN. Mark, my love, welcome to the show. I have some good news and I have some bad news. Would you like
okay.
to? All right. The good news is I can give you pretty much as much time as you want after the news at 3:30. The bad news is if I don't take the break right now, I am going to basically be turned into a toad by Tim Wenger.
Okay, great. I'll hang on.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for understanding that I didn't really want to live as a toad, so I appreciate that, my friend. All right, put him on hold. It's Bowerly. All right, do you believe in hexes and curses? And again, folks, this is one of these organic topics that it just happened, and I'm totally cool with that. I go sometimes where you guys take me, and I'm good with that if you're good with that. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And all I can say is I'm hoping to God that nobody took photographs of me yesterday falling asleep at lunch. Sorry. It's like you'd think I had low-grade narcolepsy. No, not at all. And no, I wasn't even drinking. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. It's Bowerly. Great to have you with us on a Monday, and we'll get through this dark time in our sports history together. Don't go anywhere.
Face
going for the deep Steely Dan track, Tanner Saunders. You surprised me, young man, with your knowledge of music and your ability to brown nose the host. Well done. It's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. So, if you're just joining us, interesting start to my day. It's not every day I fall asleep with a spoon in my hand. Then again, based on yesterday, maybe that is my thing now to fall asleep with a spoon in my hand. I'm so embarrassed. All right, so the Buffalo Bills obviously lost last night. David Bellavia made a passing reference to the curse of McKinley as to why the Bills will never win a Super Bowl. Basically, it involves an American president who was shot and then died in Buffalo, New York. But Dallas Cowboys have won Super Bowl a couple of times. And the Dallas Stars have won the Stanley Cup. Didn't seem to affect them. Let's go to Mark in Buffalo. And then there's that Texas Rangers team, you know. Here is Mark in Buffalo on WBEN. Welcome to the show, Mark. This is take two. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, thank you for having me, my friend.
Oh, could you get off speakerphone for me?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Not the end of the world.
I am off. How's it sound now? I was in an elevator.
You were in an elevator? What were you doing in an elevator?
I'm going downstairs to catch a cab in the next 5 minutes.
Well, it's got its ups and downs. What's on your mind, sir?
Okay, what's on my mind? Three quick things. Number one, this city is cursed. I believe in that. Okay? It's totally cursed. And number two, I totally believe what you said about the players. Our top-notch players in this city just seem to go down. But what I want to tell you is this. You, after the AFC game, when we lost in the 13 seconds, the next day, you said something, and my friends and I have never forgotten. You had said, you know, we were all hurt because of that bad call with the squib kick. And you said, unfortunately, I believe the Buffalo Bills may not get this far again for a long time. And I had told my friends that was 2.5 years ago. And what's crazy about it is, you know, we had so many expectations to win the next year. But, Tom, you knew. Was it just a feeling?
Wow. Mark, first of all, First of all, to be brutally honest with you, you guys remember what I say more than I do. And that's why I will always tell the truth, because I can't keep up with lies. I'm not a real good liar.
Last night, we all talked about it.
Wow. Well, I'm very flattered that something that I said all those months ago would have actually resonated like a tornado in your mind.
100%.
You know what? To be very honest with you, it was a feeling in part, but it was also a feeling that was based on logic and on facts. And okay. one of the things that I point out at the beginning of every year, much to the non-delight of people, is injuries. You never know when your best people are going to go down. Who knows what's going to happen with Josh Allen? Who knows how many years he's... You got to get your cab?
My cab's here. I don't mean to interrupt. I thank you for having me. My cab's here.
Oh, no problem, my man. Thank you. I appreciate
thank you, my
the
brother.
Call.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. You know, this it's really, guys, I'm really kind of flattered at how you guys would remember something that I said. But, let's just analyze it. To be brutally honest, as I have to be, because clearly my mind is shot and my memory's gone, I have to be honest, even though it means that people might not like it or me sometimes for some of the things I say. For example, the Cincinnati playoff game last year, I knew the Buffalo Bills were not going to win that game. I knew they were not as good as the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, the question is, what is it with the Bills? Is it the coaching? A lot of people are very expressed a great deal of disappointment in the offensive coordinator, Dorsey. And, you know, the thing about Mr. Dorsey is that if it hadn't been for breaking the iPad last year, probably only the ultimate sports geek would know who Ken Dorsey is or was at that point. As far as the feeling that the Bills were not going to be in that 13-second place for a long time to come, it was, as I said, it was a feeling. I don't claim any psychic ability. Believe me, if I did, I would gamble on games all the time. But it was just a sense that it takes so much to achieve that level of success in the National Football League, the National Hockey League, the NBA, Major League Baseball. And it's almost as though, and I'm not a believer in astrology, even though that's what my ex-wife does for a living, it's almost as though... timing. Let's just talk about timing. Is everything. And it's almost like everything has to align perfectly for a team to win it all. And it gets frustrating for me as somebody who has spent all but 3 years of his life in Western New York as a Buffalonian or as a Western New Yorker. It's frustrating because I know how much you emotionally invest in the team. I know that some people live, breathe, and eat Buffalo Bills football. People spend thousands of dollars on gear and traveling to the games. I mean, people actually taking vacation time the minute they find out that, oh, the Bills are playing in London. Okay, the Bills are playing in the UK. Let's go over there. People put a lot of money and emotional investment into this team. So it makes me very sad when I see a team that, well, 13 seconds, is there anybody, let's rephrase this in a different way. Is there anybody who thought that 13 seconds, that getting as close as 13 seconds was an easy thing to do? I don't think so. That was a conglomeration of positive factors that hit for the Buffalo Bills. They were lucky to be ahead that late in the game with 13 seconds left in play, in regulation. And what happened? They blew it. And some of you who are diehard Buffalo sports fans, you're probably saying to yourself, yeah, the Buffalo teams always blow it when it most counts. And I, to be very frank with you, I got nothing that's going to counter that. Because, look, if you're of a certain age, you remember when the Buffalo Sabres, very early on, in the franchise's history went to the Stanley Cup Finals. 1974, 1975, the Sabres were a very, very awesome hockey team. They had some, definitely had some gaps, which proved to be why they didn't win, that and Bernie Parent. But the Bernie Parent was the goaltender for the Philadelphia Flyers, who turned in all-world performances during the playoffs of the mid-1970s for the Philadelphia Flyers. But you might remember, if you can think back that far, the incredible disappointment that swamped this area after the Buffalo Sabres were unable to get the job done against the Philadelphia Flyers and ended up going down 4-2. They lasted 6 games, and then we had to endure toothless Bobby Clark skating around the old Memorial Auditorium with the Stanley Cup perched high in his Philadelphia Flyer hands. It takes so much. And I guess one of the things that is a little bit frustrating, and I wasn't expecting to go off on this kind of a tangent, but I find it actually interesting to think about it, at, like your thoughts as well, because I'm just one guy, and you may have more and better thoughts than I. It takes such skill, it takes such luck, it takes such calls in order to advance and go that far in the world of professional sport. It does. And the Buffalo Bills, the 13 seconds year, that to me, it wasn't just 13 seconds. It was almost like 13 years, if not longer. And I was not terribly optimistic after that game. In fact, one of the things I happened to have texted somebody last night after the Bills went down rather ingloriously against the Cincinnati Bengals, it's hard to get there. It's very hard to get there. And when you consider, again, all of the training, all of the preparation, all of the everything that makes a team it takes a team from a good team, a very good team, to an excellent team. There are a lot of intangibles there. And unfortunately, I didn't have a good feeling after the 13 seconds Kansas City game. In fact, sitting at the airport a couple of weeks ago in Montego Bay, in Jamaica, sitting at Bob Marley's restaurant. He wasn't there. Sorry about that, Mr. Marley. But there was a young lady wearing a Kansas City Chiefs hat. And I walked up to her with Mrs. Bowerly's consent. I walked up to her and I said, I'm not going to tell you where we're from, but all I'm going to tell you is 13 seconds. And she looked at me, and she laughed. And it wasn't a mean, nasty laugh. It was just a laugh, like, oh, you're from Buffalo, that game. And I guess what's frustrating to me, hold on, I've got to take a break, I believe, on News Radio 930 WBEN. And, you know, this, I'm thinking about this, this really isn't like a sports show. It's kind of a show about where we are. As a community and the importance of our sports teams to our identities as Buffalonians. Does anybody want to argue that point? I don't mean argue like yelling and screaming at each other, but just have a little discussion about that, because I'm all for it. 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. It is Bowerly with you. Thank you, my loves, for being here and talking about, do you believe in hexes? Do you believe in curses? And it's kind of funny because David Bellavia, he brought it up in passing when I was in the kitchen eating my soup, and it came up during the show today, and I'm asking you guys, do you believe that, like, the Bills and the Sabres are cursed, that the fans of Buffalo will never have a Stanley Cup or Lombardi Trophy victory parade. Here's Colonel in North Amherst. You're on WBEN. Hello. Let me try that again. Colonel, I'm sorry, that's my fault. You're on WBEN. Hello.
Oh, how you doing, Tommy boy?
Yes, sir.
I'm already alumni. Can you hear me okay?
Very well, yes, sir.
Okay, great. Let's see. And I did swim naked, but that's a whole nother thing.
Okay, you just made my day. Thank you.
Yeah, let's not bring up flatulism. Okay.
Flatulism? You mean when swimming naked?
Yeah, wind swimming naked out of bubbles in the pool.
Well, anyways, I may have swum naked recently, actually. But anyway, what's on your mind?
Yeah, but not with all boys in a junior high. But
no, okay. Definitely not all boys, I'll say that much.
Yeah, right. Okay, this is the curse of the Bills, that what I've heard, and you have to do a little research on this because you can't hold me to the story altogether, but I think I'm on a good track. I heard from some friends that, well, there was an Indian burial ground at where they built the original, Rich Stadium, okay, 1973, I think. And there was one chief, like an Indian chief. He was either called like Red Jacket or Blue Jacket or Red Coat or Blue Coat. I can't remember. But they moved him, apparently, to Forest Lawn Cemetery and moved him away from the burial ground. You follow what I'm saying?
I do, yes.
Yeah, so if someone can Google that or what have you,
Well, here's the thing. Actually, we kind of talked about that the other week when we did the ghost shows. Do you remember the whole Indian burial ground thing to me is so overdone. Can you hold on for 10 minutes so we can properly discuss this, Colonel?
Oh, if you can. Got you, man.
All right, if you can, I'm going to put you on hold because folks, there weren't that many First Nations people so that every acre of Western New York was Indian burial ground. Look at Forest Lawn. Forest Lawn has thousands of our friends and family members inside of it, okay? And it's not even full yet. So you almost have to assume that every place in Western New York was a First Nations burial ground. And First Nations to me sounds a lot more accurate than Indians or even Native Americans. I like First Nations. It was the Confederacy that actually was our basis of some semblance of a republic or democracy in the United States. So hold on. We have a lot to get into on News Radio 930 WBEN. I love you guys today. You guys are coming at me from every single angle, and I'm loving it on News Radio 930.